I would like to do manifold more for Jesus. I would like to do abundantly more for the Lord Jesus, to help my brothers and sisters and to share with them the things that God has so graciously shared with me. And I've tried a bit by bit to do that. I've tried proportionally to try to share with them and to help them as much as I know how. The Lord has been exceedingly good to me, and I'm so grateful tonight. Now, I know that it's late. I've tried to shy away from preaching during the camp meeting at night or in the morning to give the other ministers a chance to preach. As a matter of fact, for a number of camp meetings, I would just turn them loose and let them go ahead and preach. And that went on for a long time. And the Lord gave me a vision. And in the vision, he rebuked me, and he reproved me. I had a long line of ministers, and they were in line, and I was bringing them up one at a time, and I was letting them minister. And when they finished ministering, I was going to minister. And the Lord come up and rebuked me, and he told me in the vision, he showed me that if I waited until I let those ministers minister, that the entire program of God that he had for my life would be gone by. And he showed me that everything would turn to powder at the end of the way. How that everything just turned into powder. I looked, and it was as though the ground was just pulverized, and it had turned into dust, and the rain had been held back. And I heard a voice say, "It is too late to preach." And I heard this voice say, "It is too late to write a book." This voice said, "It is too late to do anything for God." And I saw the multitudes had been following the ministers. And it just faded away like that. And everything came to a close. I saw it as it was projected to me in the vision that the Lord was highly displeased with me because of it. Whereas I thought I was doing his pleasure. So I purposed in my heart after that, that irregardless to how my brethren felt about me, I was going to try to minister. And I started trying to minister in the night services to the people as they came. And in this meeting, having ministered to the people in the last camp meeting quite a bit in the night service, I said, well, in this meeting, I'll just get somebody else to minister in the night services. And then it has come back, even like it did tonight with Don, saying the things that he did. And I really want to do something for the Lord. It would suit me tonight, you know. Even if Brother Cantrell felt to come down and minister, I'd be glad for him to come down and minister tonight if he felt to minister. Be glad for any of the brethren. If there's a brother here tonight that feels to minister, I would be very glad. And I'm not saying that in any way wrong. I'd be glad for you too. I'd be glad for you to come and minister tonight. Brother Bob last night brought some things that was real good. He said some things to me that was real good. Let's turn over to Revelation 10. And let's start in Revelation 8 tonight and say some things. I'll try not to hold you long. I don't know. You know, it's hard for me to understand how you preach to people by just getting up, saying a few things to them. I know you can testify and witness and encourage people like Don did tonight. I've done that. But when you really get up and you bring a message, you really bring a message to the people to where you take time to get into the scriptures, I just don't know how you do it in a few words. I just never have learned how you do it. Maybe there is a way to do it. I don't know. I just never have learned how to do it. To me, this has been my experience in my lifetime, that there is something that speaks to me and it tells me something and it takes me into a certain channel and my mind goes into that and then it begins to deal with me. about a certain thing, and I can hear it say, be careful, don't stop now. Be careful and don't stop now. If you stop now, the people are going to be confused and they're not going to understand what you say. And then on the other hand, I will hear it say, don't go too far this way. Don't go too far this way. If you introduce too many thoughts, the people are going to be confused and they won't know what you're saying. Whereas I have had the Lord to allow me to go maybe to one extreme or to another, to the extent that I would feel that it was His pleasure and that it would be going on tape and the people here could go back and study the tapes. Maybe it would just be the congregation, the local congregation, and we'd be trying to teach a little bit. Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. And we'd be trying to teach and instruct a little bit, and it would go one way or another. And, and Bill would get it on tape, and we've got it there to where they can go back and study it. I don't know. We've probably got 1,000 tapes or more, haven't we, Frank? At least 1,000 tapes or more where we brought out Revelation. And I don't know how many Bill's got available. How many of you got available, Bill? If he's got 1,078, you must have 1,500 or more then. But anyway, we got 1,000 or more. I'll say it like that. We may have 2,000. But Bill's got about 1,000 of them available for cassette. And the different people, they just started putting them out not too long ago, of letting different people have them. And people have begun to feed from them, and it seems like it's really causing a stir among the people. The reason that I refer to this as the revelation of Jesus Christ, if you've got your Bibles, we'll talk with you just a few minutes, and I'll tell you why that I refer to this as the revelation. Some of you are aware of it, and some of you are not. A lot of times I repeat myself because we have different ones coming in and some don't understand. So I go back to repeat myself that they might pick up and learn where we have already been. In the first chapter of the book of Revelation, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the first 5 words. That is the first 5 words that is in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Now the strange thing is, when Jesus called me to the revelation of the Lord, it never occurred to me that it said the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. It never had dawned on me, and I had preached the revelation of Jesus Christ for a number of years before it ever struck me that this was even in the Bible, though I had read it many times. And so then, one day, the Lord called my attention to it and said, this is why that I had you to preach the revelation of Jesus Christ. And here it is. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I saw this, and the Lord began to bless me to understand. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ, John uses the terms that he received this in that it was to show him things that was to come. Now in the Old Testament, the Bible says that the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. The word of the Lord came unto the prophets. The word of the Lord came unto the prophets, and it is a true fact today that what that word of God is the mind of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Then he tells us in another place, he said, ye have the minds of Christ. So then, It appears that the mind that was in the Son of God so pleased the Heavenly Father that He decided that every creation should have the mind of Jesus Christ, and that all of it should conform so to the body or mind of Jesus, that it should become the body of Jesus Christ, and that it should be considered the body of the Almighty God, in that God is a spirit, having come in the flesh, that God would dwell in this body. So then when we see this, we realize the pleasure of God is in His Son Jesus. And we're also made to know that it is God's pleasure for this mind to be in us, and that there is no other way that we can get to heaven without this Christ being with us. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If Christ is not in you, you don't have any hope of glory. Now you might say, but I'm a believer, Brother Pike, and that's good and well if you are a believer. But still, if you don't have Christ on the inside of you, you don't have any hope of glory. Now, if you believe in God, the Bible said you do well. The devil believes there's one God. He believes there's one God. And he trembles when he thinks about it. But he cannot be saved just believing that there is a God. So then just believing, that's not sufficient. It is Christ within you that is the hope of glory. If you have Christ within you, then you have the hope of glory. If you have not my spirit, then the Bible tells us that you're none of His. So I call it the revelation of Jesus Christ because that's what the Bible calls it. It calls it the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says in the 7th verse, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Even so, amen. Now, this may sound a little strange, but the revelation of Jesus Christ tells me that this Christ that John saw in the book of Revelation was the same Christ that was seen in the days of Paul, when Paul in his day walked this earth. Paul, as I've said before, he walked this earth. He came forth as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He established 7 churches along the coast of Asia Minor. He actually established 9 churches. And 7 of those churches God chose to give us an understanding of what we refer to as the church ages. I say again, there is no such thing as church ages. When we read books speaking of church ages, there is no such thing as church ages. There is no Bible for church ages. There is no biblical teachings concerning church ages. Church ages, again, is a man-made application, just like when we say rapture. There is no such thing as the teaching rapture. It is a man-made application. When we say millennium, there is no such thing as millennium. It is a man-made application. But a lot of times a man uses an application, and it will bear out with the scriptures, and it can be beneficial. On the other hand, it can be deceiving. So then, God used the 7 churches that Paul established: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, He used Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. He used these churches because of the characteristics of these churches, and He used Paul because Paul said, "It is not I that liveth, but it is Christ that liveth within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the Son of God. I am bone of His bone, and I am flesh of His flesh." Therefore, it was Paul in the midst of the candlesticks, and down through what we call the church ages, We see at the end of the church ages, it is the same Paul standing in the midst of the candlesticks. Or that is, it was Christ in the midst of the churches in the beginning, and down at the end of the way, when the church ages ends, it is still Christ in the midst of the candlesticks. That is to say, beginning with Pentecost, the church gets started and 3,000 is added unto the church. And the great covenant of the rainbow, as we say, reaches over from that time over to the end of the church ages. And we find the Alpha, which is Christ in the beginning as Paul. We find the Omega as Christ in the end as Paul, standing here in the midst of the candlesticks. That is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. Starting as a fleshly man, starting as Jesus, but going through that death to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death that he might know him in the power of his resurrection. And down at the end of the trail, we see the perfect church, Paul the Apostle, standing in the midst of the candlesticks. That is Jesus, that same wonderful Jesus, standing in the midst of the candlesticks as the great church of the living God. It is a wonderful, thrilling experience to know that today that you and I are that same Jesus. We're that same Christ. When we look back at Calvary and we see where John speaks of it, and John looks at Calvary, John 93 or 96 AD it is. John, just a few short years after 33 AD. Just a few short years after Calvary. Exiled to this little rocky island called Patmos, just off of the coast of Asia Minor. Here John gets in the Spirit, and the Bible says that he is in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then he begins to write. And he begins to write about what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And the thing that John writes is the very thing that Jesus did at Calvary. John looks at Calvary, and all of a sudden the veil is rent in twain. And John said the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. And John said, and I saw within his temple lightnings and thunderings, and I saw these great wonderful things. What was it? It was Jesus, the veil being rent. That part that was sin was being rent. But on the inside of that Jesus, that great temple of God, John called it the tabernacle of God in the earth. On the inside of that tabernacle or temple that was there, there stepped forth the great Christ, the Ark of the Covenant. That Christ that was on the inside. That great wonderful thing that was veiled off from human view. And the Bible said the veil was rent in twain. That is to say, God all of a sudden took the Christ away from the Jesus. You know, to rend in twain, and we're just detailing a little tonight as we take our time. To rend in twain means to tear in two, to separate. Now you couldn't tear anything in two and make two parts out of it unless it was composed in a way to where it could be torn in two. Isn't that right? To make two parts. The Bible said that Jesus made within himself twain. Are you listening? Both Lord and Christ. And so then when they hang him at Calvary, God rent him in twain, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and the Christ was separated from the Jesus. Now you say, Brother Pike, why did God do that? For one reason. Because this body of ours is born into sin. We come into this world in a sinful condition. We're born to the first man, Adam. And in Adam, all die. In Adam, all die. Therefore, the life that is imprisoned by that creature of death, God must salvage that life. He must preserve that life. He must reach forth and get that life. Because if he doesn't reach that life, while there is still breath in this body, he can never get that life. Once the breath leaves this body, that life is gone forever. It is eternally gone. You are dead officially. You cannot be saved after that. So then, during the time that the breath of life is in man's nostrils, that same breath of life that God breathed in Adam's nostrils, while in this pilgrimage of your life, during these days, while that breath is in your nostrils, if God can switch you over from the milk of the breast to the meat of the word, then, my brother, you can live eternally. If he can take that life and change that little bitty temple life over to this great eternal life, then you can live forever. Hallelujah. But the conversion must be made while you're still breathing the breath of life. In the first man, Adam, Jesus breathed the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. But in the second man, Adam, Christ breathed from heaven and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the breath of eternal life and live forever." Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost fell on him as Peter spake unto him, and I feel the Holy Ghost falling. Breathe ye that eternal breath. And he breathed upon them. And the Bible said they received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So then, we are alive. With this breath of life, we are alive. We are alive only to the extent that God can get a hold of us and change us over to that eternal life. But beloved friend, we are dead in the sight of God. So far as it life and continuation, so far as extensively speaking, we are dead. We are dead, he said, the day that thou eatest thereof, ye shall surely die. The day that you take your eyes off of me, Jesus said, the day that you quit believing in my words. God said, I've spoken the words of life unto you, Adam and Eve. But the day that you turn away from these words that I've spoken to you, and you turn your ears to listen to something else, or the day that you go to the tree of knowledge and begin to partake of it, that day ye shall die. For there is no faith from the tree of knowledge. He that leaneth to his own understanding shall be damned. There is no faith in the carnal mind. For the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. To feed from your own understanding, from the tree of knowledge, from the tree of reasoning, it is death. The more you seek after education and understanding and brilliance in this world, the more you die. Because the carnal mind and human reasoning is at enmity with God. You're in the flesh, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because Lucifer lives in the flesh. In my flesh there is no good thing, Paul said. I've got a will that's present. I've got a will to do good, and inwardly I feel that presence of God. He said, but outwardly, as so far as performance with my human senses, my human instrumentality, I can't find a way to perform it. There is no way that I can perform good. I can't do it. Though I have a will to do good, how to perform it, I cannot find. Paul said, I'm a wretched man. I want to think good and evil thoughts come. I want to do good and evil comes. Wretched man that I am, Paul said. Who can deliver me? Who shall deliver me? Who will deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, this body is horrible, he said. bars of bone house my soul. I'm in prison. Who shall deliver me from the stretch? This body, who shall deliver me? Oh, I thank God, he said, that what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. That is my feeble efforts, my feeble beings. I couldn't perform the law through that. I couldn't live an overcoming life by my deeds. What the law could not do in that I was too weak to live up to it. What the law could not do in that the law was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh condemned sin in the flesh. Hallelujah! For everyone that would believe in the blood of Jesus, who walked not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Hallelujah! To walk after the Spirit, to mortify the deeds of the body, to cut yourself loose. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? The veil rent in twain. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Hallelujah. And one day there was a Calvary in my life. One day there was a Calvary in my life. One day there was a Calvary in my life. Hallelujah. And I came to Calvary. And when I came to Calvary, the veil was rent in twain. And the Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead by the body of Jesus. Reckon your body to be dead. Reckon that wretch to be dead. That wretched man, reckon him to be dead by the body of Jesus. For he that knew no sin was made your sins, and God put him to death at Calvary. He was made your sin that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I stand here tonight a free man because I've been freed by Jesus. He was delivered from my offenses as he was nailed to the cross, bruised, delivered, tortured, killed, despised, rejected for me because I transgressed against God. But the Bible says he was raised again for my justification. He was raised as a proof that I could live eternally. He was raised as a proof that all the world might know that there was not one mark against me, not one sin against me. The Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and that evil one toucheth him not. Never, never, never can Lucifer touch you. You are a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. From the time you've been born again, the devil has never touched you one time. If the devil could put one spot on you no bigger than the finest point of the finest pen that was ever honed, you would be defiled. But the devil can't do it. Why? Because every time God looks at you, he sees Jesus. It's not you living, but it's Christ. You're the image of the Son of God in his sight. And he finds no fault in you. You're faultless before the throne of God. And the Bible said these follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And there was no fault found in them. What is it? The veil was rent in twain. So my body could be dead and buried in the waterly grave in the name of the Son of God. For remission of sin. Oh, that is to remit, to take away, to bury, to make an end of. It was buried there. There was no more of me. That sinful me that was accursed. That sinful me that was born into sin. That sinful me that used to be, it's not here anymore. I said the other night, you can't see me. You that are looking for fault and you that are looking to try to find something wrong with me, you can't find nothing wrong with me. Why, you can't even see me. The Bible said you can't lay anything to the charge of God's elect. It is God that justifies. It is Christ Jesus that died to pay the price, that's resurrected, that's yonder at the right hand of the Father, that's pleading and making intercession for me. How are you going to find any fault with me, lay anything to my charge? Hallelujah. So then, you can't see me because I'm hid with Christ Jesus in God. God is the Spirit. I'm hid with Christ in the Holy Spirit, in God, whom the heavens have received. You can't see me. You say, but I see you with my eyes, Brother Pike. Lying vanities. Lying vanities, that's all you seeing. Lying vanities. Hallelujah. I said it's a lying vanity. If you're sick tonight in your body, if you can look at it and realize it's a lying vanity, that there's no sickness in the body of Jesus Christ. Brother, it'll fade away into nothing. The Bible said many are sick among you and many sleep because they fail to discern the body of Jesus Christ. Can you discern that you're His body tonight? Oh, hallelujah! Can you discern tonight that you're Christ's body? There is no sickness in His body tonight. That you are free from sin and death. Sickness comes from sin in the garden. There was no sickness until there was sin in the garden. The veil is rent in twain. It's laid away. That old you, that old sick you, that old miserable you, that old broken down you, that old lying vanity has been buried. You know, that's all you're looking at, folks. If you don't believe it, you just wait till Thessalonians come to pass. Hallelujah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you'll see that lying vanity. You know, it'll just go right away and you'll say, my God, that preacher was right. That was a lying vanity. You say, I can't look at that. That outshines the noonday sun. Oh, Paul said, that light's too bright. It put my eyes out. I'm blind. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. And the Bible said, they that have turned many to righteousness shall shine forth as the noonday, the brightness of the noonday. And the veil was rent in twain. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And Jesus did that. The Christ separated from the body. The justification part being the Christ. And the condemned sinful part being the Jesus. And God gave His only begotten Son, the Jesus part. That Brother Pike might be the Jesus part from now on. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That you might be the Jesus part from now on. That you might be bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Amen. Knowing no spots or blemishes or wrinkles. Hallelujah. And so tonight, the veil has been rent in twain and that part's been laid away. And we're free from sin and we're free from death tonight. But listen, folks. I say this again. If the veil is rent in twain, if death is gone, if there is no more death, why do we fear death? All of our lives we were subject to bondage of the fear of death until we become born again. And then we pass from death unto life. And the Bible said, he that is born of God, he shall never come into condemnation. For there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So then tonight, let's look at it again. If it is a true fact, that transgression of the law is sin. I remind you again, if transgression of the law is sin, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Are you listening now? When Paul received the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said, where there is no law, there is no transgression. For transgression of the law is sin. Behold, I show you a mystery, he said. We shall not all die nor sleep. But we're going to go through a change, Paul said. There's something glorious has happened. And it's been revealed to me. Hallelujah. I'm as one born out of season. But glory to God, Brother Pike, you get a hold of it. Brother Taylor, you get a hold of it. Brother Grady, you get a hold of it. Hallelujah. I show you mystery. You don't have to sleep. They said, Lazarus is asleep. He said, I'm going to wake him up. He said, hey, Lazarus. And old brother Lazarus woke up. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Why is this? Because death could not hold Jesus. Our fathers fell upon sleep. They fell upon sleep. You know why? Men sleep in the night. Come on, folks. Men get drunk in the night. We're not drunken over the cares of life. Hallelujah! We don't care about the world. We're not children of the night, but we're children of the day. We're not sleepy. Our fathers fell upon sleep, but we're not children of the night. We're not sleepy. And these have passed from death into life and shall never come into condemnation. Why? Because the transgression of the law is sin. And where there is no transgression of the law, there is no sin. And the sting of sin brings death. Oh, the sting of death is sin. The sting of sin brings death. But brother, if there's no transgression, there is no sin. If there's no law, there's no violation. If there's no violation, there's no sin. He that is born of God, John said, he cannot transgress the law. He cannot sin. He cannot sin. Why is it he cannot sin? Because he is dead to the law. By the body of Jesus Christ, the law and the prophets were until John, since that time it's passed away. Jesus fulfilled it, that which is old, the body of Jesus ready to be folded up and laid away. My Calvary was there and they laid it away in the name of Jesus. And I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's not I that liveth, but Jesus that liveth. There is no transgression of the law, my brother. Therefore, there is no law to transgress. How can there be a transgression? You love Jesus, the law and the prophets were until John. There is no more law. There is no more law. That's why the Bible said, don't be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Of the cunning slay of men, they lie in wait to deceive you. Don't let men judge you in a new moon or a Sabbath or a holy day, which was back under the law and only a type, only typical of things to come. Don't do that, my brother. Every day is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Continue in the liberty wherewith God has made you free as the sons of God. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. And there is no law. I'm so glad there's no law. Oh, hallelujah. I don't go around worrying about sinning. People said, Brother Pike, I just don't have no strength in God. I just can't do nothing for God. I'm so afraid I'm going to sin against God. My brother, how can you be afraid to sin against God when you can't sin against God? Somebody said, well, I know you can't sin against God if you keep doing right. The Bible didn't say that. It said, he that is born of God, he cannot sin. How can he sin? You're a bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You're the body of the Lord Jesus. There's no sin in his body, folks. How can there be any sickness in it? You're talking about deliverance. You're talking about deliverance. Why, there's no sickness in his body. Discern his body tonight. There is no law. There is no transgression. There is no sin. And if there's no sin, there is no death. There is no death. There is no death. You say, why do we die, Brother Pike? You're a God, but you die like men because of unbelief. The lack of the knowledge of God and the promises of God and the word of God. But behold, I show you a mystery. Someday there's going to be somebody that's going to see it, hear it, get a hold of it, believe it, and bypass the grave when the last trumpet sounds. Now come a day when the dead shall hear my voice. And Lazarus, if you can hear it, you can live. Oh, Lazarus! Lazarus! You know, it's been said, if he had not said Lazarus, everybody in the grave would have come out. Isn't that right? If Jesus had just said, come forth, everybody in the graves would come out. He had to say Lazarus. Glory to God. He said, Lazarus! I don't know how far down the trail Lazarus was. He might have been long ways. But he heard that voice. Lazarus! Glory to God, the sheep know that voice. And you pass from death unto life. You know, like the little butterfly, he said, thou worm Jacob, I'll help you. It's time to come out of the cocoon. Time to go through the stages of the metamorphosis and get them lovely wings. That glorified creature. You love Jesus? I'm going to close in a minute. If there is no law, there is no transgression. And if transgression of the law is sin, then there is no sin. If the sting of death is sin, there is no more death. Then shall be brought to pass that saying. Oh, death! Death! Where is your sting, death? You don't have a sting. Nobody's afraid of you. You're like a bumblebee with your stinger out. Oh, you're afraid. No Christian is afraid of death. The Bible said all of our lives we were subject to bondage because of the fear of death till we got born again. Ain't no Christian afraid of death. Death! Where is your sting? You're a faker. A make-believe. Jesus took the sting out of you at Calvary. Grave! Grave! Where is your victory? You swallow up and swallow up. Where is your victory? I said, well, it's doing a good job of it. Because of unbelief. You shall die like men because of the lack of knowledge. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Folks, we are gods. Jesus said, ye are gods, ye are gods, ye are gods. I say this again, for what good work do you stone me? You being a man, make yourself God, not for the good work, but I've called ye gods. It's written in the book of Psalms, ye are gods, Jesus said. Have you not read it in the book, in the Bible, I've called ye gods. But ye shall die like men because of your lack of knowledge and understanding of claiming your benefits. You say, but Brother Pike, if you can't die and if you're God, then how do you do that? Jesus was a God and he couldn't die, but he died anyway. You know why he died? He willingly laid down his life. He said, death, don't take my life from me. No man can't take my life. I've got power over there. As soon as I finish what I'm doing, I'll get up and kick off death and be on my way. And the Bible said death had no power to hold him. He just went through the routine so that you and I could be free of the thing. That's all. You love Jesus? Why, he walked right straight into heaven while he was here on earth, right up on Mount Transfiguration. Somebody said, well, nobody else done it. I'll tell you what, old brother Enoch, he walked right on into glory. Somebody said, now wait a minute. The Bible said he was translated that he should not see death. I said this the other night, and I have to go through this when I come to it so that it can be understood. There's people that say that he must come back and die, but I say that he cannot come back and die. If he comes back and dies, the scripture will be broken because the Bible said he was translated that he should not see death. That was the purpose of his translation. How then was he translated that he should not see death? Because he was not under the law. And the sting of death is sin, and sin comes by transgression of the law. There was no law for Enoch to transgress. So he walked with God for 300 years, believed God, and went on to paradise with God. That's where we're at today. We're not under the law. We're like Enoch. the seventh from Adam, a type of the church. Now when it comes to Moses and Elijah, they'll come back and die because they were under the penalty of the law. Everyone that's fallen from grace, the Bible said they're under the law. They'll be judged by the law. They'll be judged as a sinner. They'll pay the price of death eternally in that lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Eternal flames, the writer said. You love Jesus? And I'm going to close. But folks, we don't have to die. We don't have to die. We may give our lives for Jesus, lay our lives down for Jesus, but we don't have to die. We don't have to die. Men lived 100 years. Men lived 120 years. Men lived 300 years. Men lived 500 years. Men lived 900 years. Nothing inferior about the body. If it'll live 900, it'll live 9 million. Nothing wears out about this body. It's just that unbelief. It's just that unbelief, believing in the wrong direction, thinking the wrong way. Let us love Jesus. Let us believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let us believe in this unveiling. Let us believe that death is conquered and passed over. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I have destroyed him that hath power over death. I've destroyed him, Jesus said. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. You're still in that wild hallucination, that imagination. You're still in that world of nightmare and that darkness and horror. But you're not of this world. You've chosen out of this world. You're in the world of light where there's no nightmares and horror. You're in the place where the devil does not exist. He's been cast out. You love Jesus. I wish we had time to preach tonight. But brother and sister, we didn't even get time to read our scripture tonight. I want to read a little from the 8th chapter, but we didn't have time to get around to that. Now, the veil has been rent in twain from top to the bottom. And that old you is gone and buried. And that part of you that was left, like Jesus, that Christ that come up out of that tomb of the dust, it went up into heaven and it's there at the right hand of the Father. It's hid with that Christ. In God, the heavens have received it until the day of the restoration of the body, the restoring of all things, the millennium. You are sealed. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of the bodily redemption, or the redemption of your body. That is the day when God changes this earth to bring you back in that great millennium. Bring you back in Revelation 19 to pick up those bodies over there. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a restoration. You're free from death. You're free from sin. You're free from sickness. You're free from poverty. You're free from all of those things that the devil could do to you. Let's rejoice forevermore. I want you to stand with me. I know it's hot tonight. You've been real patient. It's so hot up here that the water doesn't even have any coolness about it when I drink it. Are you hid with him tonight? Do you belong to Jesus? We sing that song, "Would You Be Free from Your Passions and Pride?" There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Come for a cleansing down to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Let's sing it. Would you be free from your passions and pride? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Come for a cleansing down to Calvary's tide. Oh, there's wonderful power in his blood. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power. There is power in the blood. Power in the blood. Oh, there's power. Power, wonder-working power. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power. Power in the blood. power in the blood. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power. Power in the blood of the Lamb. You believe there's power in the blood tonight? There's power in the blood tonight. Can you discern the body of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight to be free from all of your passions and pride, all of your afflictions, and to live eternally, to live forever? We pray for this brother here if he'll come up. Let's lift our hands up together and let's pray, can we? Father, Lord of heaven, in Jesus' name, bless this our brother tonight. Lord, there is no age with thee. Lord, Moses was old according to the years, but he was still a young man, Father, according to the creation or the act of creation of God. Lord, in the eyesight had not waxed dim, and the natural sources of his body, it wasn't abated. I believe in that, Jesus. Hallelujah. Abraham's youth was renewed, and Sarah's youth was renewed, and Lord Caleb's youth was renewed. And oh God, tonight renew this man's youth, renew his strength. Glory to God. Father, let him be strong, let him be healthy, let him believe tonight. All it takes is just believing in you. Just believing in you, that's all it takes, Father, is just believing in you. Let him believe in Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Can you love Jesus tonight? Oh, there's power in the blood. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power. Power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power. There is power in his blood. Power in his blood. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless this brother. Let this wonderful power, oh, hallelujah, this wonderful strength, that wonderful Jesus that I believe in, that Christ of heaven, God, come into this life in a mighty way. Lord, move everything that's unlike Jesus. Heal and save. Forgive. Give a new experience. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray for little Jeremiah. They wrote a little note tonight, said they wanted us to pray for him. Let's pray for him tonight. Father, Lord of heaven, in Jesus' name, as we pray for little Jeremiah, I ask you to heal his little body tonight by the wonderful hand of Jesus. Oh, that compassionate Christ that I feel here tonight, that Jesus that I feel here tonight, that Christ that I feel here tonight. Oh, wonderful Holy Ghost Father, glory to God. Heal Jesus. Father, heal the name of the Lord. Father, heal this mother. Touch this mother tonight. Dear God, bless this home. Father, bless Raymond tonight. Move by your spirit, Jesus. God, quicken, break every yoke. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I feel the quickening of the Lord, don't you? Hallelujah. You believe there's power in the blood? Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming to carry me home, I saw a band of angels. They were coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. But if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. tell all of my friends that I'm coming to. They're coming to carry me home. Sing it with me now. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Let's lift our hands and love Jesus tonight, can you? Can you love Jesus? Let those troubled minds just move out from you tonight. And the Bible said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. David said, my heart is fixed. Evil tidings shall not trouble me. Though my ways may not please thee, yet my heart is perfect before thee. For I believe he had a perfect heart. David said, my heart is perfect before thee. And God said, David, that kind of heart of faith is a heart after my own heart. A faith heart. A faithful heart. A faith heart. Have you got a faith heart tonight? Do you believe in the righteousness of Jesus? Do you believe that his blood is sufficient? Do you believe the things I said to you tonight? Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe the revealed things that Paul preached through the revelation of Jesus Christ? Do you tonight? Oh, beloved friend, what an opportunity. What a great opportunity. Never been an opportunity like this before to mankind. Never before. But this is one of the greatest opportunities that man has ever had. Tonight, lift your hands up and let's love Jesus just for a moment. Hallelujah. Let's love him for just a minute. Hallelujah. Father, Lord of heaven, in Jesus' name tonight, I ask for your blessings. I ask for your kindness. And dear God, you see the hearts of the people tonight. I want you to touch them. I want you to touch them, folks. Step down here for a minute tonight. I just felt the Lord remind me of something. Step down here just for a minute. I know it's hot and we're going to let you go. You know, this kind of weather makes you weak. It gives you a chance to utilize your faith. You know, if you really believe in this faith we're talking about. The Bible said when you're weak, say I'm strong. Can you say I'm strong? You know, it's easy to say I'm strong when I'm strong. So the Bible says when you're weak, say you're strong, you know, and so you're strong, you say, I'm strong. But when you really start getting weak, then you say, I'm strong. Try it tonight. This is a good night to put it to the test. You that feel weak out there, don't go by your feelings. You have a heart attack. It's hot enough to have a heart attack. Do you know that? With all the doors open and the fans going. Hallelujah. But just believe God. Just believe God tonight. And say, God, by faith, I'm strong. Hallelujah. You know, preachers, they go into severe things. Hot, severe heat. Sometimes they have to break the ice and baptize over at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. I've done it. Be so cold, I couldn't stand it. But glory to God, his grace is sufficient. I feel like shouting, don't you? Hallelujah. I feel strong. Don't you feel that strength coming? Don't you feel that strength? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God, you got to feel that strength. Hallelujah. It's present. Woo, I feel it. Hallelujah. That quickening, that strength. Hallelujah. I feel that strength that comes from God, Brother Jim. I feel that quickening. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel that Holy Ghost. Terry, I feel him tonight. Hallelujah. I feel like hollering. Glory to God. Yeah, I feel sorry for people that don't have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It makes my cup to run over. Oh, what joy, what joy, what joy. Joy. Wonderful joy. You love him. I want you to slip your hands up with me. Jesus, these people love you tonight. They love you, or they wouldn't be here enduring this heat, my master. Oh, hallelujah. Sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. What a wonder you are. Lord, you're brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. What a wonder you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, Father, I want you to look in on the windows of these souls tonight. In every individual here tonight, I want you to examine their soul tonight. And if there be any deficiencies, Jesus, sweet Jesus, I want you to do something about it. I want you to look down in the windows of the souls of your people. Jesus, I'm glad I'm on speaking terms with you tonight, Father, through your lovely Son, Jesus. Oh, Ramanda Ramasira Barianda Ramoka Ramanda Rabashanda Riata Ramasaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Look down in their soul tonight. Touch them, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch him, Jesus. Touch him, Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch him. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus, sweet Jesus. Give me another key, Frank. Oh, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus. What a wonder you are. You're brighter than the morning star. You're fairer, much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. Oh my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You're much fairer star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. Now you know what? If you really believe that, I want you to sing this song with me. You know, there's a little song that says everybody ought to know. Now let's sing that song. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of my valley, and he's my bright morning star, and he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. He's the lily of your valley. He's that bright and morning star. And he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Don't you just love him? I'm going to let somebody sing one more song with you tonight, and then we're going to turn you loose and let you go. Jerry, I want you to come up here and sing Wading Through Deep Waters, Trying to Get Home, will you? Yeah, I'd love to hear Jerry sing that song, Wading Through Deep Waters. A lot of people have waded through deep waters. Now, don't you feel stronger? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The more you believe, the stronger you'll feel. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Say it like you mean it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you got some strength out there, say hallelujah. Woo, I feel good. Glory to God. I feel good. Brother Jared's going to lead you in that song, Wading Through Deep Waters, Trying to Get Home. Jared, come sing that song, will you?